From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I'm recording this conversation on February 10th. I've selected three articles this week that exemplify different issues for us. One is a look at the way FDA reports cardiovascular events in contemporary cancer therapy trials. Another looking at what gastrointestinal bleeding means in terms of patients who are anticoagulated and their risk of colon cancer. And then last, a nice article looking at the value of evolucumab in patients with familial hyperlipidemia. So let's get started with this study in JACC looking at reporting of cardiovascular events in clinical trials supporting the FDA approval of contemporary cancer therapies. The authors queried the drugs at FDA database to look at trials covering anti-cancer therapies and new drug applications for the last 20 years from 98 to 2018. And they reviewed pertinent phase 2 and phase 3 clinical trial data to evaluate the level of scrutiny regarding cardiovascular events. Their primary interest was what was the rate of reporting of major adverse cardiovascular events, including MI, stroke, heart failure, AFib, coronary revascularization, cardiac death. And they also were interested in a secondary outcome of any CVD event during the trial. And they adjusted for extensive covariates with their analysis, which includes the type of cancer, time and duration of the trial, etc. They used the multi-ethnic study of atherosclerosis as an observational prospective cohort as a comparison. So they looked at over 189 trials that met the author's criteria, evaluating 123 drugs and enrolling almost 100,000 participants, mean age 59, 46% were female, and 73% were on biologic-targeted or immune-based therapies, and the median follow-up was 30 months. It's really interesting. Only two-thirds of the trials actually reported cardiovascular events. Trial characteristics that were associated with not reporting CVD events were more common in intervention arms compared to controls. The efficacy of drugs was not associated with CVD reporting. Overall, the reported incidence of rates of MACE in the cancer trials was significantly lower than that of age-matched non-cancer patients. So, the authors reported that close to 40% of the cancer therapy trials did not even report CVD events, and the event rate was lower than similar non-cancer population patients, probably because of selection bias. So it's really an interesting study. It illustrates the fact that, first, cardiovascular disease is increasingly recognized as a major barrier to survivorship and quality of life in patients with cancer, and the reported rate of CDV events in the cancer trials compared to non-cancer patients gives one pause. For example, in the trials of trastuzumab, they reported an incidence of heart failure of 2.5%, while the observed incidence in practice is closer to 20%. And so there are concerns about whether or not we're not only not reporting on CVD events, but maybe under-reporting even in the trials that do report. So this is really a study which is a call for systematic reevaluation of cardiovascular disease reporting in clinical trials of cancer therapy, especially now that we have agents which have a biological plausibility for cardiovascular injury, and at least in observational studies, this is having a significant clinical impact. The second paper was a really interesting study which was published this past week in the European Heart Journal looking at gastrointestinal bleeding and the risk of colorectal cancer in patients who are anticoagulated for AFib. It's a Danish study that looked at over 125,000 Danish patients. It's a nationwide database looking at individuals who had atrial fibrillation, who were started on anticoagulation therapy, and then the primary interest was GI bleeding and a diagnosis of colorectal cancer in their national database. So over 3 years of follow-up, about 2,500 patients experienced lower GI bleeding. 140 of these were subsequently diagnosed with colorectal cancer. The absolute one-year risk of colorectal cancer following GI bleeding in the population ranged from 3.7% in younger individuals, that is less than 65, to 8.1% in patients 76 to 80. and the risk ratio of subsequent colorectal cancer, if there was GI bleeding, was 24 in young patients and about 12 in patients over the age of 85. So this article really calls to mind the notion that oral anticoagulant therapy does not cause bleeding on its own. And when we see it in our patients for whom we treat for atrial fibrillation, we need to identify whether or not there may be an underlying pathology. And of course, that is not infrequently colon cancer. So this is an important, I think, clinical action item for us. GI bleeding on anticoagulants must find cause, and especially the older the patient, the more and more we look to see whether or not they may have colorectal cancer, which obviously is a huge finding and often well treated. Finally, a very interesting paper again from Jack this week looking at the use of long-term evolocumab in patients with familial hyperlipidemia. And it really looks at the safety and efficacy for patients both with homozygous and heterozygous FH. So this was a study, open label, lasting over a period of years. They had patients both with homozygous and heterozygous. Typically, lipid-lowering therapy started with sub-Q evolocumab, 420 milligrams monthly, or 420 milligrams every 2 weeks if the patient was on lipoprotein apheresis. After 12 weeks, patients were typically up-titrated to 420 milligrams every 2 weeks. And they were looking at adverse events and cardiovascular endpoints. There were 106 patients with homozygous FH. Average age was 34, and 32% of these were on LDL apheresis. The mean LDL in this cohort, as you'd expect, was very high, 330 milligrams per deciliter, and two-thirds already had ASCVD. There were 194 patients with heterozygous FH, mean age 55, and 14% were on LDL apheresis, and their mean LDL was 193, and 80% had ASCVD. And they received evolocumab for a median in this study of 4.1 years. There were adverse events in a majority of patients, nasopharyngitis, influenza, upper tract infection, headache, but these were not profound, and generally the PCSK9 agents are well tolerated. The mean change in LDL from baseline to week 12 was a 21% drop in the homozygous group. That's absolute drop of 60 milligrams per deciliter, and a 54% drop in those with severe heterozygous FH. That was an average of 104 milligrams per deciliter drop. Of 48 patients in the homozygous group that were up titrated, the mean change in LDL improved from about a 20% reduction to a 30% reduction after 12 weeks of the 420 milligram dose every 2 weeks. The adjudicated cardiovascular event rates were 2.7% per year. And about 16 of 61 patients were able to discontinue apheresis. So this is a really a nice, relatively large series of patients with both homozygous and heterozygous FH. Importantly, the heterozygous group is now thought to be as common as 1 in 125 to 250 of the population. And of note, some of these patients do not have xanthosomas or other signs that we typically associate with FH. Myalgias did occur in about 10% of patients, but big rises in CPK, that is more than five times normal, were rare, 5%, and only 2.7% of patients actually withdrew. The larger dose seen in this study, 420 milligrams every 2 weeks, is not yet approved in the U.S., but the clinical indications are clearly there, and it probably is just a matter of time. So the heterozygous group, of course, did very well in the study. The average LDL dropped from like 190 to 100, and the drugs were very well tolerated. In the homozygous group, many of the patients still required further treatment with additional agents like this drug called lomitapide, which is a very expensive agent. And so this group continues to be a target of further study and treatment. So we've covered three different topics today. One is a look at how the FDA is covering the cardiovascular risk of cancer drugs. We looked at a study looking at gastrointestinal bleeding and the risk of colorectal cancer in patients on anticoagulants. And finally, a nice analysis of patients with FH treated with evolocumab. I hope these articles were of interest to you. And of course, the articles and their journal scans are available to you on acc.org. Also, you'll find our educational catalog there under Education and Meetings. This tool can help you sort our educational offerings by various formats. And of course, most of these are free to you. So I enjoy talking to you today. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to an Eagle's Eye View with you again next week. Thank you.